Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, happy Women's Day to you all. And so today we're going to reflect a little bit upon the theme that is taking place for the Mennonite conference that's coming up in Orlando. And so over the last number of weeks, this has been a theme that they have dealt with, and this is also going to be a theme that will be dealt with at the, or approached rather, at the Mennonite Church USA conference and biannual conference, national conference, which will take place in Orlando. So I know that our high school youth, and I think our middle school youth, have been dealing with it, have been approaching this particular topic. So today I wanted to take the opportunity, as a part of Women's Sunday, to approach love is a verb. But won't you pray with me? Gracious and Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you this morning, just thanking you for your spirit, thanking you for your love that has surrounded each and every one of us. For Father, this week may have not been exactly what we wanted it to be. It may have not been what we predicted it to be, but because of your grace and your mercy, you have kept us throughout this week. You've answered some questions. You give us more reason to understand where we are in our faith walk. But through and through, we have always seen and have always felt your awesome spirit as it is with us. And so on this Sunday, Father, we just want to lift up not just our women, but all of those who are here today to hear your word, to understand what it is that you would have for each of us to know. And so by doing so, Father, we just ask at this moment in time that you allow our hearts and our minds to be open, that you allow us to be settled so that we may hear, and so that you allow our hearts and our minds to digest so that we may do. And in all of this, I ask that you move me out of this so that your word may be magnified, so that they may not see who stands here, but yet, Father, hears the words that are just for their spirit, just for the enrichment of their faith. And as we leave up out of this place, give us more and more and more, so that we may tell the good news of the Lord and Savior who came to fight, who came to fall, and who came to die for us all. In your name we pray, amen. There was a young boy who was crippled ever since he was at birth. And at this one particular time, he was hurrying to catch the bus. He was carrying gifts under his arm, and in this, he was still struggling because he was struggling with his crutches. But suddenly, there was a man that bumped into him and knocking out his gifts in all directions. And then the man paused, and he had scolded the young man for getting in his way. But yet there was another gentleman who had saw the distress that was on the face of this here youngster. And he quickly picked up all the gifts that had scattered about and then even slipped a $10 bill into his pocket, telling him, "I'm sorry. I hope this makes up for your trouble." The boy couldn't remember having been shown so much kindness that he called after him and he said, "Mister, thank you." "And sir," he says, "are you Jesus?" "No," replied the man, "I'm just one of his followers." See, if your faith in Jesus was put to test, which one of those persons would you be? For I am sure that we would immediately align ourselves with the man who would be identified as oh so kind and say, "Yeah, we would help him. I would help out that little boy." But yet maybe some of us quickly would be in the instinct, in the time, in the period, at the moment, the very first person who was hurrying to catch his bus, and maybe the boy just wasn't paying attention to where he was going. For you see now, in today's world, we will find these are both valid reasons for most people to just simply get upset with the young boy. However, the Lord holds those that are believers, those who call themselves Christian, to a much higher standard. And this scripture reminds us, the scripture that we read today reminds us that we must be in a very bold and direct way. And in a way, it teaches us that we must not only have faith in Christ, but ultimately it needs to be more than just words. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, I want to read it again. For it tells us this is how we know who the children of God are and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. For we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. For anyone who does not love remains in death, and anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. For this is how we know what love is. For Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. For if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but have no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? For dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with the actions and in truth. See, the whole idea around this reading in 1 John, and even with the entire book, is that we must understand that through the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, we will see and experience God. And in doing so, we are compelled to live out that love in word and in deed. You see, the author here in 1 John expects us to be willing to go as far as Jesus himself went. For we must be willing to die for our neighbor and to love as God does. So now you may think that this is very extreme. This kind of love is kind of extreme, but the author here really suggests that we start to see someone in need and have the means to help, we must help them. So if that means going to the nth just to get you to the 50% line, that's what he's talking about. For if we do not help them, when we cannot claim to carry ourselves or to carry the love of God inside of our heart. For here, this evangelist makes it clear in verse 16 that we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Very simply, there's a cause and effect that produces another effect. God's love is made real in Jesus. And in the way that the Son of God lives and loves is in both in death and in beyond. For this is a genuine kind of love. See, it's not that I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back kind of love. For this is love that is poured out without the regard for the cost. This is love that demands no return. And love that is not simply let out on the needy one without getting any who doesn't need any help. The measure of our faith is not in our talk. It is in our walk. The measure of our faith is not in all of what we can do and say. It's about what we say, what we show others to do. Christians, we can give good lip service. You tell somebody a lot of times what it is that we need to hear. But when do we actually take the time to actually live out this love that is in our heart? For if we do, it is what we do. It is not about what we say. Simply stating, whatever occupation you may just happen to be in, whatever it is, it does not mean anything unless you can demonstrate to others who you are and in what way you convince folk. See, as I'm reminded of this, and this week in particular, because I lost a coworker this week unexpectedly. And this was one coworker of mine who I saw for probably maybe 3 or 4 hours out of the day. He was one of our custodians. Came to work every day, and if I had to identify a man who just every day in my life was a true man of God, this one was. Because I'm reminded of it as I reflect upon his life and an impact of it, is the simple fact that we cannot exclusively put the love of God here in the church. We can't just simply come into church and every morning or every Sunday morning and you got a brightest smile on your face and things of the sort. We have to do this every day. We have to, not just with the smile, but how we treat one another, how we talk with one another, how we love on one another should be how we have the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. And this should be something that's not just exclusive to church, but it should also be in every single element that we walk into in the world. It is having a life that is worth living. For in 1 John 3, in the verses 16 and 17, it tells us specifically, this is how we know what love is. For Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone have material possession and sees a brother and sister in need, but have no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? So, what does it mean to lay your life down for another? We may never be called to give up our own physical lives for others, but it might happen. For we are called to put our own wants aside in order to meet the needs of others, to share the burden, to alleviate the pain and suffering where and when we can. It means looking at one glass. It means looking at that glass as not all as always full enough to share, as being content with enough and not hoarding all of those things, all of your time, hoarding all of your talents and possessions. For to lay down our lives for one another means that we live in a community state of mind, reaching out to others with no guarantee of return. It means that we just shut up and put up for the good of the people. And it means taking the back seat and letting someone else drive for a while. And that we don't have to pack up. We remember we were younger and we still have those little red wagons now, but they collapse. It doesn't mean that we just pack up our wagons, the little red ones, go home at the first sign of disruption or discourse when you haven't been able to get your way. We find that sometimes we have to realize what it means to lay down our lives. Is that means it also means for us to humble our spirits in an effort to come full with the body of Christ. In verse 18, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." You see, one thing about this is God's love is one who is active. This is his love. It reaches far beyond the depths of the human emotion and demands a deeper effect on someone's self aside from a greater message. See, we are incapable of reaching the level of compassion without the Holy Spirit intervening. We can't do this on our own. And yet, when we find that we have the guidance of the Spirit, we are able to absorb all of these doses of love and just be ready to move them out for a love that defines and shows our own relationship with Jesus Christ and with God himself. For you see, the world tells us to hate those who offend us and to desire the worst for those that are out there trying to harm us or trying to hurt us. They tell us all the time that it's okay to get revenge. It's okay to go out there and do an order so that tick for tack, I'm going to get you either way. See, God's love, however, is completely the opposite. For we learn in Leviticus 19, verse 18, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." That would be probably one of the hardest things that people have a time doing. In one of my women's groups that I'm in, I there's this one woman who she tries to live this out, but she can bring back stuff up to me that happened 10 years ago. Not just happened to her, what happened with her in the group, but maybe it was something I said 10 years ago. So she said it. She did that to me yesterday. She said, you did so and so. I said, I'm sorry, I can't even remember what it was. Now she's 85. I'm 48, right? Yeah, 48. Trying to figure out, you know, you can go from day to day to day. But I said that, and I had to say to her, I said, please tell me that hasn't rested on your soul for all these years. You haven't been able to experience anything else, because that has rested on your soul. Now, that may be words that just be very blatant, and you may not necessarily say that, but sometimes we need to say that to others when they bring that to you, is that let the love of God move you beyond that. When we hold on to too much, and it may not be just grudges against people, but grudges about what has taken place in your life. Maybe you weren't able to get that promotion that you wanted. Maybe you weren't able to move out of that house and into another place that you wanted. The grudges. What you think in your mind is things that I never had a chance to do. Those are things that hold us up from experiencing the love of Jesus and exuding it out in what we do on a daily basis. For when we think about those things and you grudge around what I didn't do or what it took me so long to do, instead start to think about what God brought you to, and then talk about how good God has been to you. How good he's been to you. It brought that person in your life that you regret having to have met, but instead, how that person maybe has helped you love even more. And so we need to think about the fact that as we have a choice to either love as God required us to, or we have a choice not to. That's what free will entails us to do the hard work, though, that is contrary to this world, and to go out daily and seek a higher level of love, that it can only be applicable when we allow the Holy Spirit to fall fresh within our hearts and with our souls. So what does love have to do with it? Love is a driving force in achieving the unimaginable. It is about having that closer relationship with Jesus Christ and with our Heavenly Father. For love is the compelling force that says, through the mercy and the grace of God, we are truly capable of extending the same to one another. God's love is pure and simple. It's a gracious love that frees us up to love others. For knowing this and having this knowledge of this love and this grace, if we allow it, can fill us up so much then that we are able to pour ourselves out to others without worrying if we're not getting enough back. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His one and only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, this was a powerful testament to anyone who can believe and know that if you, what's attainable if only you believe. There was an 18th century a pastor who once said that the love of your neighbor consists of three things: to desire the greater good of everyone, to do what good we can when we can, and to bear, excuse, and hide others' faults. That's what loving your neighbor. See, if we made this into a series, the loving means that we can have the ability to go back and we can forgive, because we're able to do all. We're able to see that, to desire the greater good of everyone, to do what good we can when we can, and to bear, excuse, and hide other faults. The kind of love that Jesus is talking about here, again, is that sacrificial love, the love that can only be found at the cross, not the superficial love that is in this world. For you see, it is at the foot of the cross where we are humbled to realize that without the love of God for us, how are we able to love others? That maybe our days will be blessed with opportunities to show the love of God wherever it shows up. And may our own obstacles and may our own barriers that we come across also have the ability to show the love of Jesus Christ that exists inside of us. And in doing so, we understand that his mercy and his grace will be that sustaining force that will help us through and help us to focus on not those things that are of self, but how is it that we can allow the Spirit of God to reach out to someone that we touch every day. I say to you that today that love was the very thing that lifted me. When I think about all of those things that and I give my say, you know, some folks say, well, why do we hear about what goes on with you? You hear about what goes on with me because I can't sit up here and preach about the Word of God unless I tell you how it's been good to me and how it's transformed me. Because when I look back, that song says, when I look back over my life, I have to think about some of those things that probably didn't get me to this point. I start to say now, God called me on purpose we have to fix some things. But fixing our things means realizing we become transparent and we look at what it is. And I know that there's one thing to it. As our faith is built up inside, the love that we have embraces and is put into action. The love that has lifted us cannot simply be contained, but rather let us not love with words or speech, but with the actions and in truth. See, love lifted me was from an act that when we find in John, when it reminds us that little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in action. However, it is by this we will know that we are from the truth. When we realize that love was that lifted me, was from that I came from a situation where we had no confidence to one where there was confidence, not arrogance, but assurance that we have the confidence before God. That it is the possibility that we can receive everything that we would ask for. When we think about how love lifted us, it's to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and to love one another as not only he suggested to us, but what he commanded of us. And when we think about how love has lifted us to hear the message that was from the beginning, that we should love one another. And that the world is one that lives to take away what Jesus Christ has always died for us to put inside of our hearts. We live because not the love with the lowercase L lifted us. It's the love with the uppercase L that has lifted us. For we know that we have passed from death to life because we can love each other. If we do not love, we remain in death. So you have to understand that in this Christian life, faith and works go together. It's like inhaling and exhaling. Faith and works go together, for it's like inhaling and exhaling. See, we understand that faith is taking the gospel in, and the work that you do is spitting and it's taking the gospel that is out. It is our job to inhale and exhale the gospel on a daily basis. For you see that faith is never something just to be talked about. It is something that must be demonstrated. It must be showed in the way that we live. For all human beings are ones that are made of the body and the spirit. But without the spirit, a human body is nothing but an empty shell. Once manifested, have the very being inside of it. But likewise, faith which lacks work is empty. It's useless. It's dead. For we need to remember that we need to inhale and exhale the gospel. We need to, because that's the real deal. That's the real deal. Are we the real deal? Do we have that genuine faith? Will we always show that our work, that our love is manifested in the works that we do? Is it in our actions? Does it complement that we have a new life in Christ? Is it like us? No. Are we walking around like a dead body that has no spirit inside of it? But faith is taking the gospel in, and the works is taking the gospel out. For as we meditate on the love of God, we must remember that love is just not a set of words, but it is action. For we need to understand that when we inhale, we breathe in. Think about this for a minute. We breathe in and everything in our body starts to change. Our diaphragm starts to tighten up, and things that move around, and increases the space in our chest cavity, in which the lungs then expand, and then the muscles between the ribs and all of them enlarge. And as your lungs expand, the air is sucked in through your nose and in your mouth, and then the air travels down the windpipe and into your lungs. Can you imagine what happens when you find out, when you get so into the Word of God, that when you inhale, all of that comes in and expands inside of your body? We're reminded in Genesis 2, the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils the bread of life, and that man became a living being. We're found in Ezekiel 37:5 that this is what the sovereign Lord said to these bones: I will make them breathe as they enter, and you will come to life. And in John 20:22, when Jesus breathed in them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So I want to do something with you right now. Wake up. Some of y'all understand up here. Wake up. Take a breath in. Inhale. Take a deep breath. Hold it. Just hold on to it. Now exhale. Having taken both that test, when you inhale, you take it in. Imagine that if you take it in, and you never exhale. How long will you sit that way if you never exhale? How long will you hold on to what God has given you and shown you? Because when you exhale, don't you start to feel better? You start to feel better. But see, when we think about this, when we are inhaling, we are filling ourselves with the love, the peace, and the joy that's found only in Jesus Christ. Our body lets us know when it's time to inhale and exhale, keeping us in tune with our natural rhythm. So does our spirit. So sometimes we inhale and we may hold on to it for a minute, but just in time, just when Jesus said, now I need you to exhale, is when we take it in and we let it out. We are constantly spending time with God in prayer, scripture, and other disciplines that allow us to do so. Think about that time as inhaling, when we are studying and we are reading and we are meditating. But it takes time to take those full breaths in. But God is working through us. And when God is not working through us, and we are not being the bearers of reconciliation, and we are not going out and we are not doing the prayers for those who are in need of them, we are not exhaling. But see, as you can see, when we exhale, God's spirit becomes into the lives of others. And when we exhale God's breath, we are sharing that love, that peace, and that joy with those around us. And I think that the world is longing for that breath of God, even if it comes from us. Because we must remember that Jesus is our model for keeping inhaling and exhaling in harmony. For scripture tells us of Jesus constantly being engaged in teaching and healing and being involved intimately with his community, never turning away from his mission of bringing the kingdom of God to the earth. But he frequently went off to himself to pray. He frequently went off to spend times in communion with God. And when he did not forget about his mission. He was engaged in his mission. He did not hesitate to just stop and to pray, calling upon the power of God, calling upon the power of healing and peace to whatever situation he is. See, that perfect balance of inhaling and exhaling is what we strive for, not just individuals, but also as a church. When we inhale, do we just hold on to it? It's not a comfortable feeling all the time. But when we exhale, we remember this. For the original message was told to us that we should love one another. For we must not be like Cain, who joined the evil ones and then killed his brother. The way we know we've been transformed from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. And anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you can tell, and you know very well, that eternal life and murder don't go together. For this is how we come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. For this is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. For if you see another and have the means to do, but turn a cold shoulder, what happens to the love of God? It disappears. And you made it disappear. So as I take my seat, we say, practice real love. When he goes on, in that same scripture, let's not just talk about love, let's practice real love. For this is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way the shutdown, the self-criticism, even when there's something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. Let us embrace what it means to inhale the word of God. Get so uncomfortable that we keep inhaling it because you never get a chance or you never take the opportunity to exhale. It's time to exhale. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again for reminding us that love is a verb, a word of action, a word of action. So, Father, it's just not our words that are just as meaningful, but, Father, we need to help our own selves understand that there are times when we need to love with words, with actions all the time. So Father, we just ask at this moment in time as we take in, we're constantly taking in what you have given for us. We know and believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sacrificed his life so that the love that comes from him is what very well lifts us out of our own mire. But also, Father, we want to be able to tell somebody else about the love of Jesus Christ. And Father, it may not be just through the words, but how we interact with one another, how we encourage one another, how we are not in the business of holding on to grudges. But Father, we just ask that whatever your spirit will allow today, that we ask that the Holy Spirit of your goodness and your gracious just fall upon us so that we can begin to exhale and do the good works. Allow your love, the love, very love that lifted us, be one now where we can go out and spread the good news to someone who's seeking to know you even more so. Father, we can't keep it to ourselves. Sometimes we live in the world when the world says, you know when you got yourself a good thing. But Father, we know we have the good thing, but we have to spread the love of Jesus Christ. So Father, for those who are amongst us this morning, who are in need of your guiding touch, we ask Father that the spirit of your goodness continue to be around them, continue to embrace them, and continue to uplift them. For some of us may need to be reminded of the love that has lifted us when nothing else helped. The love that has lifted each and every one of us. The love that has allowed us to inhale. But Father, let us exhale so that we're sharing. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sacrifice. And Father, we thank you for bringing us this far by faith so that we may share, so that our works may show that we serve a God who is all powerful, who is all loving, and who is all gracious. In your name, and in the name of Jesus, we pray.